faint-hearted. For the two tales of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and of the sons of Remaliah. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go up against Judah and vex it. And let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. The head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin, and within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. I'm going to take my title from verse 4, which is, Be quiet. Let's pray. Lord, give us your presence tonight and your guidance as we open your word together. Speak to our hearts and teach and grow us through it. It's truly a blessing to come together on a Sunday evening and hear from your word, Lord. And may we be willing to listen and be responsive to the Holy Spirit's speaking and prodding and conviction, whatever the case might be. We give it to you. We give you the whole service, Lord. May you be glorified in our time together. Now in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So God took this particular incident here with King Ahaz to teach Ahaz and the Israelites and, of course, us some great lessons about his sovereignty, about his power. And if you read on in the chapter, you find that God did intercede and did protect Israel, even though they were outnumbered. But God decided that this particular battle that they were going to face was his battle, because they were his people and they'd asked for his help. And you and I, if we're his people, we can ask for his help. And he's there. But he tells us here in chapter 7, verse 4, in the midst of all this, it's interesting that he said, Take heed and be quiet and fear not. And I believe that this is an important lesson for us to learn as Christians, that we have to sometimes just sit back and let God work. And be quiet and watch God do what God's going to do. You know, this thing you hear a lot of people, a lot of these TV evangelists ordering God around. And I don't find that in the Bible myself, where we as wicked sinners have a place to tell the Creator of the universe what He's supposed to do. I think the opposite is true. We are supposed to let Him do what He pleases to do, and we need to sit back and accept His power, His sovereignty, His leadership, and so forth. Now, if you go to Exodus 14, God made a similar statement to Moses right after God had delivered the Israelites from Egypt. They were chased by the Egyptians. Most of you know the story. And God brought them to a place where everything basically looked impossible. And I think many times in our Christian lives, God brings us to those places where things look impossible. Because then God gets 100% the glory. Because when He does it, we certainly can't take credit for it because it was impossible. And this was one of those examples. We know the story. Moses delivered the Israelites from Egypt. He led them, amazingly, to a place where they were trapped against the Red Sea. Now, that was not by accident. He could have led them anywhere, but he led them right up against the Red Sea, and the way it was shaped and everything. When the soldiers came, they were trapped. And of course, their response, the people's response, was to say, oh, God brought us out here to kill us. God isn't strong enough to take care of us, and so forth. And God's response to that, because they're still babies, was to say here in chapter 14, he said in verse 13, Moses said unto the people, Lord is speaking through Moses, and said, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. It was impossible from a human standpoint. They were outnumbered. They weren't soldiers. They were being surrounded eventually by soldiers with chariots and so forth. They had no chance against the Egyptian army, except that God was involved. Amen? And he, of course, stopped the army with his pillar long enough for the people to get across the Red Sea. We know the story. He killed all the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. It was impossible, and God did the impossible and protected his people. But before he did it, the statement was, stand still. Not jump around, not get excited, not fight. Just stand still and see the salvation. God's going to do this, is what he was saying. God is in control. You're in an impossible situation, but God's going to watch over you. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And I believe there's many times in our Christian lives, if you turn over to Lamentations chapter 3, Lamentations right after Jeremiah, there's many times in our Christian lives where God intentionally brings us to these places so that he can say to us, be quiet, stand still, and watch me work. It builds our faith, and it brings him glory. Look at Lamentations chapter 3. Look at verse 26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Hope and quietly wait. I don't know about you, but I'm just not that good at waiting. And God wants us to not only wait, but sometimes to quietly wait. In other words, just stop telling God what needs to happen, stop arguing, stop complaining, and just quietly wait on the Lord. He knows. We've already asked him. He knows what we need. He knows the desires of our heart. Now it's up to him. Quietly wait and see the salvation of the Lord. And you know, David had learned this the hard way through many, many trials. Before David had his glory as king of Israel, he went through some amazing trials, being chased by Saul and his army, living in caves. He was a fugitive for a long time. And of course, then, after he became king, he slipped into sin. We know that story. But go to Psalm 27 and just want to show you a couple of things that David had learned along these lines of be quiet, fear not, wait on the Lord. Just watch God work. Notice Psalm 27, verse 3. David, speaking, I believe, from experience, says, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. Both of those are pretty much impossible situations. If an entire host should camp against a person, they have no chance. One person against an army. If a whole war should rise against one person, What would be our human reaction but to say, this is the end, this is impossible, I'm going to lose? And I believe God often brings us to these places so that we can sit back and just be quiet and see the salvation of the Lord. Watch him work. Watch him do what he's going to do. Because if you go back to our passage, as God was giving these beautiful promises to Ahaz, in verse 4, he says, be quiet and fear not. But I love what he says in verse 7. He said, These nations are out there doing all this plotting, doing all this planning. We read about it, Syria and Ephraim and so forth. All these things they were going to do, who they were going to set up as the king of Jerusalem, so forth. Verse 7, thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand. Neither shall it come to pass. If it's not my will, it's not going to stand. We have to remember that if we are God's child and we are in God's will, that the desires of the devil and of the world against us will not stand. Now, if it's God's will for us to go through some suffering, so be it. But it's all in His hands, is what He's saying. He is in control. He is sovereign over our lives. Go to Isaiah 54, if you would, in verse 17. Pardon me, Isaiah 54:17, where we are reminded again that if we're in God's will, we can be quiet and watch God work and not fear what man does. Look at Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Think about what God is saying there. That none of man's weapons can prosper against God's people if it's not God's will. Then he goes on to say, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Even the words of the world and of man cannot win over us if God's in control. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. We're very blessed. We not only have God's salvation, but we have God's presence and God's protection. The Bible says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth unto it and is safe. There's no safer place in the world than with God and in God's will. And Ahaz was about to be taught a beautiful lesson that would be passed on to us through his word, that if God is in it, it's going to go God's way. Well, if we're His children, God's in it. And God's going to do what God's going to do for us. Whichever way it's going to go, it's in His hands. So stand still, be quiet, watch Him work. Because it's all His will anyway. In other words, He will not allow, as He says in verse 7, He will not allow man to usurp His will, His authority against us. It won't happen. God's more powerful than man. God's more powerful than the devil. And if you would look at Proverbs 21:30, God tells us straight out that if God's made a decision, if God has declared something to be His will or not be His will, there's nothing man can do about it. Look at Proverbs 21:30. God says, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. It shall not stand. That should give us great peace to know that it shall not stand. To know that we can be quiet and we can wait on the Lord. It's hard to do. We're impatient people. We tend to be self-centered. We tend to want things to go our way. But Ahaz had no choice. He was completely outnumbered. And I believe God often brings us to these places in our Christian life where we have no options. We're trapped from a worldly point of view, and we just have to sit back and be quiet and watch God work a miracle. We serve a miracle-working God. Amen? Jesus said with man, this is not possible. With God, all things are possible. Now, we believe that in our heads. We know the Bible says it. But sometimes the only way that we can come to believe it in our hearts is to be put in these situations where we have to sit back and say, I can't do anything about this. I am going to be quiet. I'm going to be still. I'm going to watch God work a miracle because I have no choice. And of course, when it happens again, what happens is our faith is built. Then God did something He did very, very, very rarely in the Word. Can you imagine God asking you a question like this? Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. Can you imagine God coming to you through God's prophet and saying, here's what I've told you, and just to prove to you that this is true, ask me anything as a sign and I will do it. Wow. Ahaz took the wise approach and said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. A lot like Solomon, when God said, what would you like? I'll give you anything. And he said, Lord, just give me the wisdom to lead these people. And God said, that was a good answer. And said, not only will I give you the wisdom, but I'm going to bless your kingdom, and you're going to be rich, and you're going to be healthy, and things are going to be good, because you asked for the right thing. You asked for the wisdom instead of asking for riches and whatever. Similar situation. God says to Ahaz, ask me a sign. Can you imagine what most of us would say? It would be very selfish, wouldn't it? But he gave the right answer. And so God, in response, of course, gave one of the most beautiful prophecies in Scripture, which wasn't to be fulfilled until maybe 1,000 years later, 700 years later, 600 years. Nobody knows for sure, but verse 14, therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. God says, if you're not going to ask me for a sign, if you're not going to tell me what the sign is to be, how about if I give you a sign that is so supernatural that it's undeniably from God? I am going to not only have a virgin have a child, but that child is going to be myself. How about that for a miracle? God in the flesh. Which is, by the way, what the word Emmanuel means, because we're told that in the book of Matthew chapter 1, when he is named, and this verse is quoted. God Himself translates Emmanuel for us, which interpreted means God with us. Matthew 1:23. God with us. So, not only is a virgin going to conceive and have a child, but that child, if you go to Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, that child will be God with us. Now, I'm sure that Ahaz couldn't have picked something that amazingly supernatural. If he would have chosen some sort of a sign, it would have been who knows what. Maybe set the clock back so many degrees, or maybe a storm in the sky, or whatever. God said, in the depth or in the height, pick something. And God says, how about if I pick something? How about a virgin has a son, and his son is God, her son is God with us? Acts 20:28, the Bible says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. And so when Jesus shed His blood on the cross, the blood that was shed was God's blood. Look at 1 Timothy 3:16, one other verse on the incarnation of our Savior. And I'll mention this again next week, but 1 Timothy 3:16. Bible says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. The key phrase there is God was manifest in the flesh. Praise the Lord. Now that was a sign. The virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the sign God chose in teaching Ahaz and us a lesson that our God is the God of the impossible. And it's easy to forget that sometimes, living in this world in which we live, and the drudgery of trials and sin and our own flesh, and all that we battle with here on this earth. Sometimes we just forget wait a minute, the same God that saved me and the same God that indwells me and the same God that made promises to me in His Word is the same God that made the universe and can do anything and will do anything. And I believe sometimes He'll bring us to those places where He just says, be quiet. I've got this. You can't solve this problem. You can't get out of this problem. You are in a place where it's impossible. Now watch me work. Now just be quiet. Like Moses said, be still. And see the salvation of the Lord. And it may appear impossible. It may appear that the world or that man is against you. It shall not stand. Because, as God says, He is in control. And He gave us this amazing sign as a reminder. And so now we look at this sign, and it's not only a reminder of the incarnation of Jesus Christ and the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, but it's also a reminder that we serve a miracle-working God who cares about His people and who wants us to just be quiet and watch Him work and see what a powerful, amazing God that we serve. So praise the Lord, and let's just never forget that all things whatsoever we shall ask in prayer believing, we shall receive. We serve a miracle-working God that just says sometimes, be quiet. Let's pray. Dear Lord,